is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. They can be found on page 1073 of your Pew Bibles. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
It's quite a challenge to be able to listen to a passage like that or to read part of Scripture and know, how do I get into that more deeply? How do I recognize what God is wanting to say to me through this? Or things that happen in our lives, how can we discern God's hand at work, and how can I recognize something of God's love and God's challenge within the everyday things and events of our lives and the things that are happening in our world? When we pose ourselves that challenge, we're challenging ourselves to think with our spiritual eyes, to develop that which is within us, which is called spirituality. It is a very hard word to try and define or grasp. Many people have had many attempts to do so. What we need to have is a structure around which we can approach some of the mysteries of life. And Sean, my wife, as you know, has spent many, many years looking at ways in which with children she can explore and give them a framework to engage with spirituality at a level which is appropriate for children and indeed for adults. And one of the things that she does and has come up with is a very simple three-part way of developing and working with spirituality with children. And it's around three icons, three visual symbols that give us a clue as to how we can approach this. One is called windows, one is a mirror, and the other is a door. And throughout many, many schools across the country, this formula, if you like, this framework is being used. And if Roger can put this up on the screen, fantastic, already I've done so. Windows, mirrors, doors. This is an image that was taken in a local school. It's on the panel of a school. And you can see that on the windows, children have placed words that they respond to under that heading, the same with mirrors and the same with doors. And let me explain what those windows, mirrors, doors are. It's ways of seeing with spiritual eyes. Windows is really about what we see, what we look at, what we observe. And often it's around the ows and the wows of life. The ows are the difficult things that we see happening and give us pain. And the wows are the things that inspire us and cause us to go, wow! The wow factors of life. So when we think of the gospel story, we see in Luke and Matthew in particular the windows into what we know as the birth of Jesus and the narratives around those events. Matthew and Luke particularly retell those events. Mark has practically nothing about that, starting with the baptism of Jesus. However, when we come to the mirrors, that's about reflection. It's about reflecting on what we've seen and observed through the windows. And we recognize that something of the significance of what we see is that which gives it real meaning. And it's St. John in particular who is the one who uses the mirror to reflect on the Christmas story. He reflects on what has happened. He's writing something 70 years after the birth of Jesus. And he reflects on Jesus as the Word who was from the beginning. He speaks of who Jesus was and is. He reflects on the nature of Jesus who was with God and was God at the beginning of all things. And who is the manifestation, the showing forth of who God is. The glory of God is seen in Jesus, writes St. John. He reflects on what Jesus does as life giver. In him was life, and that life was the light, that life was the light of all people. He is the light that shines in the darkness. This is a reflecting on the person of Jesus and speaking into the present day and the significance of what he is when we think of the image of light. He is the glory of God, says St. John, makes the unseen God visible. He makes him known, as we read in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So in all these ways, John helps us like a mirror to reflect on Jesus. He is the one who dwells among us. He is the one who is full of grace and truth. Nothing of that comes through in the window dimension. Luke and Matthew don't talk about Jesus as being full of grace and truth. But because of who he is, St. John is able to recognize something of the significance of Jesus' coming. So windows and mirrors. And finally, doors. The door, as you might have gathered by now, is that which opens up and invites us to go through it, to make a response, to act, and to recognize that there's something about what God is doing in our lives that is transformational, that transforms us from what we were to what God wants us to be. We take a step forward as people into the new life that God is giving us. So the door is something that God reveals to us that can be opened. And you remember in how St. John speaks of Jesus as the one who is the one who brings the possibility of new birth. He was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not recognize him. In other words, the door for them was shut because they didn't recognize who Jesus was. But to all who received him, those who believed in his name, and this is what it means to open the door, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. It's remember how in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is described as the one who stands at the door and knocks. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and he will eat with me and I with him. And St. John later in his gospel, right at the very end in chapter 20 verse 31, these are written, all these things are written. The way I've written this account, says St. John, is that you might believe, that the door might be opened, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, we can see what John is getting at. We can see that by observing through the windows of Jesus's life, looking at Jesus's life through a window, and then reflecting on it, what's the significance of this, and then by opening the door, going through that open door, as it were, the ultimate destiny of humanity is life in his name. And we have said that our passion, our goal that we're working towards is learning from one another, learning from the scriptures, learning from those who have gone before, learning from the Holy Spirit particularly, how to live this life. And children right across the country are using this framework now to develop a way of thinking spiritually, seeing with spiritual eyes. And I found it possible to use this as a tremendous way of looking at any portion of Scripture or looking at events that have happened in my life, looking at things that I read about in biographies or in novels or in films that I see. Star Wars was amazing. But you can actually apply this same formula. It really was. It was very action-packed. You can apply this formula to a film or a book or a television program, whatever it might be, and look at it with grace-washed eyes was the phrase that is often used about seeing spiritually. Grace-washed eyes. So I wonder whether I can shut up for a minute and ask you to engage with this yourselves. I know you probably just want to sit here quietly and just, oh, so exhausted, I don't want to do any work. But if you could possibly think about the Christmas that you've just had and that you're in, the things that you've read and heard and seen, the events that have happened in your life, and apply this framework to it. And I'd love to be able to have an opportunity for you just to share with one another, perhaps, around this structure, and then for two or three people to share with us all in one part of that significant journey that you've been on. The three areas to think about, really, are firstly, what have you seen or noticed this year that's been fresh to you? Now, to me, and then I'll outline it, yes. Secondly, as you reflected on this, what insight has God given you? What deeper realization have you had that this is of real meaning and significance? As the mirror. And then the door is the one thing that you have done already, or you feel a sense of transformation that you're taking one step as a result of that insight. Okay, now let me apply it to myself first of all. The mirror that I was looking through that struck me particularly was that phrase in St. John's Gospel, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And this came home to me very recently in a way that made me appreciate the fact that that which was unseen, Jesus, the Word, the expression of God's life, now becomes visible. I can see in that word something that I hadn't seen before. Flesh, meaning flesh and blood, real and visible in Jesus. As I reflected on that, the significance of seeing who Jesus is and recognizing that we need, in order to communicate something of the Christian faith to others, God wants to make things visible in our world. And I was reminded in the recesses of my memory about, I think it was Saint Francis of Assisi, who said that you are, for many people, the only Bible that they will read. And so I thought, goodness me, the Word becoming flesh, my flesh, your flesh, your being, how am I living that life in a way that others will see something of Jesus or be put off Jesus by looking at me? It's especially difficult when you've got one of these things around your neck. I quite sometimes try and not wear a dog collar so people don't know I'm a vicar, and then I don't have to be so good. But I try to be Jesus's, something of Jesus' life made flesh. And that's the challenge for us all. And that's what really came home. But also, I think there's a sense in which, in this generation, which is so visually orientated, I think there's something about the way we communicate in church and out of church that needs to be much more visible, not just word-based. And the Christmas crib, that is so powerful in what it communicates, is a visual reminder of things that are profoundly significant. The visuals that we use now in church, but the ways in which we can, as a building, see this building transformed so that it is more able to visually communicate that which is significant about God and the gospel, are all part of incarnating, making the Word flesh and dwelling among us. And I think that's a real challenge for me as I go forward into 2016. And so the door is opening up, and the challenge for me is, how can I, and how can we as a church, make Christ visible, both in the church and perhaps more importantly outside in the world as we live our lives in everyday situations. So that's the window, the mirror, and the door for me. I wonder whether you could have a ponder for a moment, in a few moments of quiet. Is there something about this Christmas that you've noticed afresh, that you've really seen? I hadn't seen that before. Is there something that then, as you've reflected on this, has given you a deeper insight, a realization of its meaning? Or is there one thing then from that you can take a step forward and do something different, that you feel a sense of transformations going on in your life? So this is an opportunity to use that structure and think and reflect for a moment.
Yeah, in hearing all the Christmas stories read this Christmas, it struck me the amazing grace and sacrifice that Joseph was able to make in changing his plans. You know, that whole sort of being open to move with the Spirit and that whole situation of being able to see something from others' point of view and act accordingly.
Yeah.
That's what's struck me this Christmas.
Thank you. Okay. Well, we could put openness down, could we? So that open to something different, isn't it? Being open to hear from God in a way that he wasn't thinking. He changed his course. It was quite transformational. So that would be all three in one, really, you'd see in Joseph's story. The window, saw the angel, heard the message, reflection on it, and then he decided what he would do, and then he actually did it. He implemented what he was going to do. It's one thing reflecting on it and thinking, oh, I really should take Mary as my wife, but then actually waking up from the dream and saying, no, it was only a dream. He didn't go through the door if he'd have said that, but he did. Thank you. Anybody else like to offer a reflection? Be a St. John on this St. John's Day. Thanks, Rosie.
Just following on from what you said, Joe, really, the Gospel of John, where it talks about Jesus being the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't put it out. And, you know, we see around the world and in lives of people around us, there's so much darkness trying to put the light out. Mm. And Jesus gives us the hope to know that no matter how dark things seem, he still shines. And taking on from what you were saying, how does that apply to us? How do we stay hopeful and be that example for other people that actually Jesus is a light and, you know, he can shine in their darkness?
Mm, thank you. Yeah. So it's seeing that light in others and being that light to others, isn't it? Perhaps that would sum it up, do you think? Seeing the light in others and being the light to others. Seeing light and being light. Maybe something along those lines. And that's really important in everyday life. Is somebody else who'd like to share something? Really grateful. Liz, thank you. I think it's really important to not just restrict this to the scriptures, but to see the Celts always used to think about God's creation and God's world as a complementary volume to the Bible, where we see God revealed and at work. And we see that in everyday life, and see light struggling to get through in all the darkness. Thank you. Liz?
Try and put this succinctly. I was structuring the Posada thing when I had Posada for one night, how it only occurred to me that Mary and Joseph had so many places they must have stopped and rested on the way during their journey. And I don't know whether they were welcomed or whether they just found a place under a haystack or whatever, but they needed to be there. And then fast forwarding to this weekend, well, Christmas, we had two examples over the last couple of days of exceptional hospitality. One happened to us on Christmas Day, and the second was yesterday when we went to visit my sister, and my brother-in-law had invited a person who was... he's a man that comes to a cafe that they run for disabled people, you know, just people with learning difficulties, whatever. And he'd invited him for the day, and it was quite an amazing experience because this guy was extremely loud and dominated almost the whole day. But at the end of it, he left about 8 o'clock last night. He said, "This has been the icing on my cake," he said. He goes to a centre on Christmas Day, and he'd had his dinner there. But to go to a normal family, he said, to spend the day with a family. Mm. And it just struck me again about the whole area of welcome, hospitality, and with us going possibly to a new place, you know, just opening up homes and welcoming and showing that love and the light of Jesus into a world that's needy in that way. So that was it, really. So welcome is probably the key word there. And openness. Yeah, we've got that already, but right. Okay.
Thank you. So that welcome, the transformational, the transforming power of welcome. I think, you know, over the year, we've noticed a number of people coming to Christchurch, and the one thing they've talked about and gone back and said about Christchurch is the wonderful sermon that the vicar preached. Sadly, not one person has said that, but they've always said, hey, there's such a welcome from people. When we've made that effort to welcome them, other people have said, nobody spoke to me, and that was very, very sad. But more often than not, there's been a sense of really engaging and feeling welcome, and the significance of that, not only within the church context, but within our own everyday homes and where we are with people in the workplace, whatever it might be. When we offer that welcome to others, we are doing exactly what Jesus came to bring. Thank you very, very much indeed. Let's just ponder for a moment and give thanks to God in a moment of quiet before we sing, I think. I'm going to play In the Bleak Midwinter in a moment as we think about what we can offer. So, Lord, we thank you that on this day we remember St. John. We give you thanks for the spiritual eyes that he was given by you to see below the surface, to see what you are doing in these Christmas events. Lord, help us, we pray, to have our eyes to see that which you are doing in our world, and to join in with that wonderful work, whether it's in the darkness or in the light. May we be with you as you are with us in these days, months, and this year ahead. We ask it in your holy name. Amen.